It's a download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman with you till 11 o'clock tonight. Patty Vasquez takes over at 11. Pretty late with Patty Vasquez. Well, Broken Lizard, the comedy group behind movies like Super Troopers and Beer Fest, are taking over Chicago starting tomorrow night. They'll be on stage at the Park West for Meow What? A live comedy extravaganza. And they're going to be holding a beer pong tournament in Wrigleyville at Barleycorn's on Clark Street. This is Saturday during the day. It's called Beer Fest Chicago 2016. The group of comedians met in college at Colgate University. They relocated to New York City, did stage shows. But the group got their recognition from indie film. Their first feature, Puddle Cruiser, went to Sundance, and their follow-up, Super Troopers, was a bona fide hit for Fox Searchlight. The film was made for about $1 million, and it made, $95 million. Come on, man. That's crazy. That's crazy to think about, that the film that was made for $1 million, and with video and everything else, Super Troopers made $95 million. That success paved the way for three more features and much, much more work in Hollywood. Today, the group is hard at work at Super Troopers 2, which was made possible from crowdsourcing. Super Troopers is Eric Stolhansky, Kevin Heffernan, Steve Lemmy, Paul Soder, and my guest tonight, Jay Chandrasekhar. Jay, thanks for being here.
Hey, man. I'm very, very happy to be back in Chicago.
I didn't recognize you have Chicago roots. You were born here.
I was born in Cook County Hospital.
Wow.
And grew up in Hinsdale, Illinois, just about 20 minutes
yeah.
out. And you know, I did my first stand-up act at a place, I think it was called the Matchstick in Lincoln Park. And then I, was part of the Improv Olympic back when I was 19, when
okay.
Chris Farley was still there and Dave Koechner and some
right,
of those
right,
guys.
Right.
And, I just came in for like 6 months, but yeah, I'm a hardcore Bears, Bulls, Blackhawks, Cubs fan.
That's great. No. I had no idea. I mean, I've kind of known you for a little while, but I had no idea that you were actually from this area.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Time.
Well, let's talk about it because, you know, you're in town to do a stage show, which is sort of your roots. I mean, you guys started as a improv or a sketch group at Colgate, really on a whim. I mean, the idea was you wanted to get some sketches together for a quick show.
Well, you know, I had done the Improv Olympic here in Chicago, which was entirely improvised. So you get a word from the audience and you do like a 40-minute show. So I went back to Colgate and I was bragging about how much I had worked in the real comedy world of Chicago and how, oh, it's too bad Colgate didn't have an improv group. And oh, if only you could have seen what I saw. And then some guy who had a theater group, he was leaving to go to London for the semester. He goes, hey, why don't you start a comedy group, do an improv thing like you're always talking about. While I'm in London, you can take over the theater group and do that show. And I'm like, well, you know, like I was totally unqualified. I was a total rookie at it, so I said no. And then a few weeks later, he called me back and he goes, dude, I'm in a bind. I need someone to do a show.
You got
to
do it.
And I said no again. And he calls me from London and he goes, you have to do it. That's just the deal. You have to do it. And I'm like, fine. I'll do it. So then I went around and got all the funniest people I knew, none of whom were actors because, you know, there was not a huge acting thing at Colgate. It was just these friends of mine who were funny. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do an improv show. And I would try to teach these people improv. And I was a total rookie. And that went so poorly that I'm like, we better shift gears. So I'm like, let's do a show like Saturday Night Live. We'll just write sketches. And so we just started writing sketches. And for whatever reason, we happened to be funny and did a good job. And it became a huge hit at Colgate. It's still going on there 20 years later.
The story goes that you kind of reunited. You all went to New York City and you did shows in Greenwich Village and other places.
Yeah.
But that was sort of the start, was what you did at on the college community. But it wasn't the stage shows that launched Broken Lizard. It was the film stuff, because the films, you quickly went kind of away from the idea of being a stage group, and because you had film chops and others in the group had film chops, you were able to do more things in that form.
Well, you know, the hard thing about film is that there's such huge crews and the technical knowledge is so high that most people are kind of intimidated by it. But, you know, when we started the group, we were such fans of the SNL shorts they do, the video shorts, that we decided we would do that. We basically just copied SNL. I did a monologue, we did sketches, and we did short films. And at Colgate, the short films were really crude and simple and not really high quality. But as we went to New York, we started to make better ones and better ones and better ones. And eventually we decided, you know, it was sort of the indie film revolution was happening in New York. And so we decided...
Well, this would be like early 90s, right?
And so we decided, you know, films like Slacker and Clerks and Brothers McMullen and were Reservoir Dogs, they were all making for $1 million and under. A lot of those for $60,000, $100,000, whatever. So we decided to put our money together and try to make, you know, our own film. We wanted to be Monty Python.
Right.
And, you know, I took one class at NYU and learned how to load a camera and how to edit and sort of how to light. And we just started diving into it.
And just think about what you just said and juxtapose it to now. If somebody wanted to do that, they could do, I mean, there's so many options with digital filmmaking and the idea to put it on YouTube and think, we're talking, you know, early 90s. I mean, it's more than just kind of figuring out lighting and how to load a camera. I mean, that technology wasn't that accessible.
No, I mean, you literally had to load film into a 16mm camera and have a sync sound recorder on, and it was high. There were a lot of people involved that required to do this.
There's a little bit of pressure. It had to be funny. You didn't want to make stuff that wasn't funny, right?
Absolutely. I mean, and you know, but at the time in New York, we were the only comedy group making videos. There wasn't a single other comedy group.
Wow.
Like there was the groups in New York at the time were us and the State. Like, and the State were doing fully. They were, you know, those guys, Tom Lennon,
and those guys.
They were doing stage shows, and we were doing a stage show, and we had videos. And MTV actually called both of us up and said, "We're giving one of you two a show." And so they came to us on Friday night, and we murdered it. I mean, we killed it. It was one of the best shows ever. And then they went to see them on Saturday, and they got the show. So at the time we were like, well, okay, so now they have the sketch show. There's SNL, there's In Living Color, there's no need for more sketch shows. So we said, if we're going to make it, we got to go make it in independent film.
Oh, interesting.
And so we just veered off.
So it's almost a business decision.
No choice. Yeah, rejected us. We would have been a TV group who would have made TV sketches. But they rejected us, so we were like, well, our only hope is to make a film.
Well, I mean, others may say, you know, stick around in the neck, the MTV knockoff, the Comedy Central, whatever, come along and get you guys.
Yeah, but I mean...
The idea that you are thinking ahead and you're thinking, like, I mean, as, you know, right out of college, you know, sketch comedians, you're thinking as a business. I mean, you realize that if you want to get into the business, you got to go into film. And that's an interesting insight for kids who have no experience.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like there are two ways to approach show business. You can be proactive or reactive, right? And guys like Brad Pitt, who look like Brad Pitt and are that good actors, they can be reactive. They can get scripts come into them and go, right. I'll do that one. We had to create our own opportunities because, you know, the people weren't giving us the scripts and the money and the thing. We had to bully our way into the business and say, we're good, we're funny, this, that. And it, you know, and a lot of people try and don't make it, but we happened to, you know, things lined up for us and we got lucky and we were good.
Well, let me ask you, we'll start with Puddle Cruiser because Puddle Cruiser was a movie that you guys made. I mean, this was indie of the indie. I mean, it was a movie that was based on your college experience. It was a movie that went to Sundance. It got some experience. You got some experience under your belt on how to, you know, be indie filmmakers. What was that when you think back to that initial feature experience? What did it teach you guys?
Well, you know, before that, we made a film called The Tinfoil Monkey Agenda. It was like a half an hour movie about an invasion of a South American country, and there was a CNN crew embedded with a snatch and grab team that went in to grab basically Manuel Noriega, and then they keep it all live on the news, and it was basically Wag the Dog before Wag the Dog came out. No, they didn't see our movie and copy it, trust me. Nobody saw our film. It was 30 minutes and it was like an awkward length because you couldn't, film festivals wouldn't put it in because, you know, they want a bunch of like 2 minute to 11 minute things where they can put it together into a 90 minute.
Right, move it along. Right?
Yeah. 30 minutes, you're like, you better be the greatest movie ever made. And it wasn't. And so we made this film, but we really learned how to make the technical side of making movies. And we learned how cameras work and how, you know, angles worked. And so when it came time to make Puddle Cruiser, let me back up. We wanted to make a feature film because we wanted people to see it. And people were making movies and getting them in theaters. And we thought, okay, we're going to make a movie. But the longest thing we'd ever written was this sort of 30-minute thing.
Right.
And it wasn't structured like a movie. The story wasn't like a regular movie. And so we didn't really know how to do it. We're like, well, maybe we should just make a bunch of sketches and do like a Monty Python sketch movie. And I had written about 60 pages. Like back in college, I wrote about a relationship I had with a girl who I started dating this girl. Her name was Denise, and she was like already dating her high school boyfriend still. So we were just kind of hanging around and just having fun. And slowly we got more serious, and she eventually broke up with the guy. Now, one day while we were in bed, kind of, you know, just hanging around, she said, you know, my old boyfriend, he knows about you. And I said, oh, yeah. He goes, yeah. And he wants to kill you. And I was like, oh, that's funny. That's funny. And she goes, what do you mean? I'm like, well, I mean, whatever. I mean, I'm not really worried about it. And she says, yeah, I know, but he's kind of big. I mean, he played high school football. And I'm like, yeah, but so what? I mean, I'm not really worried about it. And she goes, no, it's not a big deal. I'm not saying anything. And it became this sort of macho sort of situation where I was like, you think your old boyfriend's tougher than me. And so to sort of overcome this, I joined the rugby team at our school. And in reality, this guy was also on his rugby team at his school. And we ended up
playing
games. So that's what the movie is about.
That's right.
That's what the movie is about. And it's about like modern day machismo.
Right.
And so I'd written about 60 pages, just a bunch of scenes. And I showed them to the guys and they were like, this is funny. But it's a romance. It's a guy and a girl thing. We need to have a movie where five of us can be in it. So we sort of rewrote it and added characters and sort of flipped it around and, you know, just kind of built up the other parts. And then we eventually had our film and we said, we think this is a good story. We don't know about three act structure. We don't know about typical, you know, we just said, let's do it. So.
Well, yeah. Well, the movie got to Sundance. Well, let's take a break. We come back because it's a precursor to Super Troopers.
Yeah.
Which is the same. I mean, you guys learned the experience of putting a feature together, which got some attention. And you're able to get a little scrape together some money to put Super Troopers together at, I guess it would have been the late 90s. Jay Chandrasekhar is my guest tonight. He's one of the members of Broken Lizard. They are on stage at the Park West tomorrow night, pretty much sold out. But if sitting down and watching a comedy show is not your thing, you can go be part of the the Beer Fest Chicago 2016, which is a beer pong tournament that the guys from Broken Lizard will be involved in at the Barleycorns on Clark Street in Wrigleyville on Saturday. So you can look that up and go be a part of that. More with Jay when we come back here on The Download. Stay with us. It's The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, Jay Chandrasekhar. He is one of the men behind Broken Lizard. They're playing Park West tomorrow night, and they're also doing a beer pong tournament at Barleycorn on Clark Street Saturday during the day, Beer Fest Chicago 2016. You can find all that stuff online. Jay, we were talking about the beginning, like we were kind of leading up to Super Troopers. I said in the beginning of the segment, the intro, $1 million to make that movie. It made $95 million, man.
Yeah.
That's crazy. That's crazy to think that Super Troopers made that much money.
Well, it was the moment in time when everybody was buying DVDs. They were everywhere. People were just picking them up. They were stocking stuffers. They were just, you know, every room you'd go into for, you know, eventually when we would go and visit college campuses, they'd all have a copy.
Right.
And it was, you know, it was
amazing. Well, it's legendary to think Super Troopers is among movies like The Big Lebowski and other movies like that that took on this cult following and were you had to have it in every dorm room in every college. Did you guys, I mean, you couldn't have pictured that. Did you think about that when you were making Super Troopers?
We made Puddle Cruiser, we killed at Sundance. We won the Hamptons Film Festival. We killed at South by Southwest. And yet we weren't famous enough, so nobody bought the film. Like, there was a company that wanted to offer us $0 for the film, and they would put it out, and we should have taken it, but we didn't. And then we went back to them, and they said, no. so we were beaten dogs when we went into Sundance with Super Troopers. I mean, by the way, after Puddle Cruiser, we went around to all the studios and said, we want to make this movie next. We're
Here
Highway
it is.
Patrol.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were like, can Ben Affleck play Thorny?
Right.
And I'm like, no, I'm playing that character. They're like, yeah, then no. So, I mean, everybody said no to us there. Every financier.
Was that really was it when you go and pitch a movie in Hollywood, a lot of times they're like, well, Broken Lizard, you wrote this, but who's going to star in it?
And
you're like,
we're in it. Yeah, we're in it. And they said, then we're not making
it. That's not the model.
Yeah. Right. So everybody, including Fox Searchlight, who eventually bought it, said no. Every independent financier said no. And so we were out of luck. And a friend of mine's dad, a friend of mine called me and she said, my dad is an investment banker and he's retiring and he's written a script and he needs some notes. Would you mind doing me the hugest favor and reading his script?
Okay.
And I said, yeah, okay, sure.
All right.
So I get he gets on the phone with me and he's telling me about his script and I'm like, okay, okay.
He's like, it's a Highway Patrol story.
Yeah, yeah, right, right. And he goes, I said, do you want me to read it? He goes, yeah, I think I do. Would you mind sending me a sample of your writing just so I know, you know? And he was auditioning me and I'm like, oh God, I'm doing this favor for my friend. So I send him Super Troopers. And like a week later, he calls me up and I'm like, and he had sent me his script in the meantime and I had notes. And I said, hey, so you want to talk about your script? He goes, yeah, yeah, yeah. What's going on with this Super Troopers thing? And I'm like, well, we're raising money. And he goes, if you can make it for $1 million, I'll do it. And I was like, what? Okay. And so I ran to my producer. I said, can we make it for $1 million? He goes, either we make it for $1 million or we make it for nothing.
Right, right.
And I was like, okay. So then we did it. I mean, we made it for $1,260,000.
How much money, you know, for you guys coming off of Puddle Cruiser, how much money did you think Super Troopers needed to be made for?
I don't know. I
you
mean,
know, what do you do?
We were
going to
make it for 3.5. We were going to make it for 5. We were going to, you know.
Yeah, right. What suffered by making a movie for $1 million that you thought was going to be for $3 million? Just longer car chases and
stuff
like that?
I mean, look, we didn't know. I just had made one movie. I didn't know what I was doing really. Or I didn't, you know what? I didn't know I knew what I was doing. It turned out when you watch a movie, you're like, okay, I did know what I was doing. But at the time, I was pretty sure I didn't know what I was doing. And so you're just shooting these scenes and you're like, okay, I think we got it. And, you know, we have to shoot it the whole thing in 30 days and that's it. And so there was, you know, there's just intense pressure. We would have shot it in 35 days.
Right.
And it would have been a little... Probably would have been the same exact movie.
And it was the same concept that the movies before or after Beer Fest and others where you guys, you know, you don't necessarily, I mean, you direct the films, but, you know, you don't necessarily have an executive producer. You don't actually have somebody who's like, this is how we're doing it and this is the shot. You guys are very communal. You have a very communal spirit at Broken Lizard where all of you kind of make the final decision.
I mean, you know, we tried to start the group in a way that so that if you ever asked who wrote that joke, we'd all say, I don't know, we all wrote it. Because it's really, you know, when you have a group, it's really should be about the group mind and the group credit, you know. And so we all write these things together. We don't even, I don't even cast the movie until we get to draft 16 of the script so that nobody is writing for themselves. You know, you might play any of these parts. You're writing for all of them. And then, you know, 16 drafts, a year and a half into the process, you're like, okay, you're that guy, you're that guy. And then you start writing for yourself. That's how it works. But
well, let's take a break for the news. Okay. We'll come back and talk more about your career because what I really want to get at is you guys are making Super Troopers 2 now. To make that much money off of Super Troopers and to find yourself having to go to your audience or go to your to crowdsourcing because Hollywood's like, meh, it's ridiculous.
Times have changed.
Times have changed. Jay Chandrasekhar is my guest tonight. He's one of the members of Broken Lizard, which is on stage at the Park West tomorrow night, which pretty much sold out. But you can go to the beer pong tournament, which will be at Barleycorn on Clark Street. It's called Beer Fest Chicago 2016. That's on Saturday during the day. More with Jay when we come back. Stay with us. There we go. Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest tonight, a member of Broken Lizard, Jay Chandrasekhar. Jay is in town with Broken Lizard. They're doing a show at Park West tomorrow. It's a benefit for Halcyon Theater Company here in Chicago. Also doing the Beer Fest Chicago 2016, a beer pong tournament. Why not?
Why not?
Why not? That's on Saturday during the day at Barleycorn up in Wrigleyville. I mean, you had so much success from Super Troopers that it really kind of funneled you guys right into mainstream Hollywood. I mean, you got a picture deal with Sony for a little bit.
Yeah,
right?
We had a deal with Sony. We had a production deal at Warner Brothers, and you know, we made a couple movies with Fox, and yeah, it was great.
It was great. Well, and you know, those movies and Beer Fest included. We talk about the beer pong tournament on Saturday. They all kind of followed the same formula that Super Troopers did, where it was like it had medium success in the yeah. theaters, but it was what
huge,
people did.
Huge video.
Yeah,
huge.
With video. I mean, at a certain point, is that what people were investing in Broken Lizard, were the studios investing in?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, they were willing to make it at a certain number because they knew the theatrical was going to be a certain number, and then they knew the video would be massive. I mean, and it's just been our way. Our fans tend to be a little slow on the uptake. They're not slow people. They're like, yeah, I'm going to get to that. And then they get to it on video.
Does the sort of end of video and DVDs and a move to more on demand, does it hurt a model like that? Does it hurt the
Well, the end of the DVDs has model? Hurt the whole old show business model for sure, because you counted on that to sort of break even on films. But Netflix has come in and is buying up rights like crazy at high prices. Amazon is competing with them and buying up rights like crazy. I mean, for a good long time, I would say the last 10, 12 years, we've been witnessing sort of the death of independent film, because you couldn't take a movie to Sundance anymore and sell it and end up, you know, even making your money back. And then this year is sort of the beginning, I think, of a new wave
really?
Of indie film, because Amazon and Netflix were the two biggest buyers. You know, I mean, they bought a movie for $10 million. Someone else bought a movie for $8 million. I mean, they were buying in multi-million-dollar movies. And Fox Searchlight bought a movie for $18.5 million at Sundance. So, I mean, and once that happens, all the money people who had thought about investing in a movie are like, oh, that's okay. I'm going to do it.
Right.
Maybe I'll make some money. So a lot more money is going to come funneling into this business this year.
Well, you know, the economy, obviously, I think it was 2008, 2009, you saw Hollywood react to sort of the financial collapse of the world. But you guys kind of got caught up in that, because you made movies at a certain number. I mean, it was, you know, mid-level, small budget stuff. And it doesn't seem like Hollywood wanted to make those kind of movies anymore.
Well, they you know, I talked to the president of Warner Brothers about it, and he said, I want you here to make $100 million movies, comedies. And I said, you know, everybody resents $100 million comedies. You take two.
What's
big stars.
$100 million comedy?
Well,
Dumb and Dumber?
No, that was like 29 or 30. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it's more like, you know, something with Robert Downey Jr. and Vince Vaughn. You know, two great guys, right? But each one of them costs 25 million,
right?
And then you make that's 50, and then you make the movie for 50, right? So,
right.
But what he said was, I need two big faces to put on the poster. And I said, you know, instead of making a $100 million comedy, why don't we make five $20 million comedies, or four, whatever, 25. And he said, what's the most a movie like that's going to make? And I said, 100. And he goes, yeah, that's a double. He goes, I need to hit grand slams. He goes, I need to move the stock price. He goes, I need movies that can make, that not necessarily will make, but can make $250 million. I need to put the faces on the poster and have it sell in Spain and Germany and, you know, all over the world. And I need movie stars, period. So I need to make $100 million comedies.
So up until this point, what you're saying is the resurgence of independent film. I mean, we would never see a Super Troopers again.
If it had been made in the past 8-9 years, it would have never been in theaters for sure. It would have probably not even been made. I mean, you know, if there's no chance of theatrical release and no chance of making your money back, people don't invest in movies.
Right.
Now that Netflix and Amazon and it's forcing Searchlight to pay more money, I think it could start something big.
Well, let's talk about Super Troopers too, because this was a crowd. We had Eric and Kevin on earlier in the summer talking about your big campaign. You guys raised $5 million through your fans. I mean, you got out of the Hollywood circuit of making films and went straight to your loyal audience, which has bought all your DVDs and follows you to the different shows. And they ponied up. I mean, $5 million to make Super Troopers 2 outside of Hollywood.
Well, I mean, you know, we went to Fox Searchlight, which is the indie label at Fox, and they're famous for movies like Hotel Budapest and, you know, Chocolat. And so, you know, I say that not to make fun of them. They're the very best independent film distributors in show business, but they have highbrow tastes. Like, they like to make French movies and English movies about period pieces.
That's indie film, right?
That's where they want to spend their money. So we went to them and they said, look, we want to make Super Troopers 2. And they're like, can you set it at the Hotel Budapest? And I was like, no. They said, look, why don't you guys go out, raise all the money, we'll release it. We love you guys, but you guys raise the money and we'll just put it through our system. And so that's where we ended up. And we then went to the fans and raised almost $5 million.
Do you like that? I mean, as a filmmaker and as a comedian and as somebody who has developed and cultivated your audience, do you like going straight to them for
Well, in a way, because if you look at the amount of movies and TV shows and podcasts, and there's so much noise out there, right? Radio shows, there's so much noise. It's so hard to break through. It's they call this kind of period the long tail. Have you ever heard of that? That show business used to be just a few things, a few movies, a few TV shows, a few channels, and there were huge numbers of people watching those few things. But then as we made hundreds of movies and hundreds of TV shows, hundreds of podcasts, each group is getting a tiny little slice of it, like a long, skinny rat tail, and you cut it up. And so, you know, in order to break through now, it's a lot harder. And so for us, we have activated our audience. They put money into it.
It's amazing.
There's a movie coming. They know a year in advance this movie's coming because I put money into it.
Yeah, right.
T-shirts, they're walking around. We're hoping that it will sort of pre-activate our crowd.
Let me ask you. I mean, and you work. You get so much work, and you do. And shows like Arrested Development, even Community, as we're talking about in the break. I mean, you've worked on so many shows. You direct a lot of shows, so I know Hollywood's important to you. As Broken Lizard, are you guys at all resentful the fact that Hollywood is not buying more Broken Lizard material after the success you had?
Well, look. I mean, you can waste your time being resentful, or you just figure out what's working in Hollywood now. I mean, what's working really well now is Amazon and Netflix and some of those places, and it's forced the more traditional networks to compete with them. And so there's a little bit of a situation now, which is very beneficial. I mean, look, we're going back to make Super Troopers 2 because we want to and because it's the most marketable thing we have. But we really do want to. I mean, it's we've written 25 drafts of this thing, and it's great. So you can resent it and you'll end up not working, you know, or you can keep on hitting it. Okay, this is what the business is. Let's hit it from this direction.
I mean, it was the first thing we talked about in this interview. It was about how, you know, they chose the state and you could have continued down that route, but you decided to go somewhere else and hustle in a different route. And it seems like, you know, you guys are ever evolving and you're doing the same thing again.
The people who have long-term careers are hustlers. They make their own way. And the ones who are like huge in a decade and disappear are, you know, they're waiting for a great script to show up.
So let me ask you, okay, Super Troopers 2, where are we?
We have shot a week. Kevin Heffernan and I have been cutting it together, and it's. I'll say this: I was the biggest worry for me was, would we have the tone right? Would the jokes be right? Would it be worthy? And based on the week of footage we've cut, which is like 20 minutes, it's worthy. It's good. It's funny. It's cool. It looked decent, and I'm happy with it. We didn't have all of our money lined up by the time the winter came in Massachusetts where we shot. And so we have to, now that once all this winter sort of passes through, we'll be shooting the rest in May. And then we'll cut it together 6 months later. It'll be done. And then Fox Searchlight will release it theatrically all over the country.
And there you go.
Yeah.
And is this going to be the model for Broken Lizard? I mean,
I don't
the
know.
Next project,
I mean,
I'm going to assume you got millions of stuff that you got on the
we'd
show.
We'd like to make a film called Potfest, which is a sequel to Beer Fest, and Warner Brothers owns that. So we'll see. You know, if we can convince Warner Brothers to carve off the lowest number of money that they'll make a movie for, we never know. We might be able to jump back in and be back in the studio business again.
Well, all right. Well, Broken Lizard is on stage at the Park West tomorrow. It's a benefit for Halcyon Theater Company. It's called Meow What? A live comedy extravaganza. And you can see Broken Lizard at the Barleycorn on Clark Street in Wrigleyville for a beer pong tournament called Beer Fest Chicago 2016. That's Saturday during the day. Jay Chandrasekhar, I can't thank you enough for coming in, sitting down and talking to us. And congrats, and we can't wait to see Super Troopers 2.
Thank you very much.